Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre Eaton.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
We want to welcome you to Cowboy Church, just as the intro said. And Russ, I think you've got some really, really neat things to say today to Cowboy Church.
Well, it's kind of about motivation, what drives you. And so, you know, the first question has to be, when you get up in the morning and you... What drives you?
Thank God you prepared me. Okay.
Sure. Yeah,
you
yeah,
prepared
time.
Me this time.
Usually I don't give her time to think about
yeah,
it.
He sure does not. And well, what motivates me, I get up an hour before so I can take my thyroid medicine so that I in an hour can get to the coffee pot and get my coffee cup.
There you go.
And get my coffee.
So the motivation, that's a health thing for you.
It is. Yeah. It is. It has motivated me. Yeah. And the next motivation is there's a mama cat right outside the door on my way to the coffee pot, and she hits the door every morning, reminding me that she's hungry.
It's time to come in and eat, isn't
it? So I try to do good and feed her.
Well, she's motivated by food, huh?
She is.
Well, this week, I was just looking at the things, because something drives us all the time, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And so I was just looking at what would be the best thing for a Christian to drive him?
Well, in my opinion, is the love of God.
Sure.
The love of God. Not God looking down and saying, oh, can't you do right? Or won't you, you know, go be loving and kind? But the love of God that we feel in our heart, that we have accepted the love of Jesus and to go and love.
I like that. Kind of some of the things that drive me is my grandkids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I pray for my grandkids several times a day and for several reasons. And I want my grandkids to have every chance.
Yes.
You know, so that drives me.
Yes.
And
me
it helps my prayer too.
You know, I didn't understand why our parents, wait a minute, me and Russ are not married, but I'm just saying our parents, the parents of us, loved my kids so much.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. It was almost like they pushed me out of the way and said, oh, my grandbaby. And I see myself doing the very same thing.
Terrible.
But
just
it's
terrible.
From me double.
Right?
It's from me double.
Yeah.
I mean, I love those grandkids so much, and now I have more time to spend with them and to instill the love of Jesus into them more and more. And I may not preach to them and I don't do all the things I should, but if they can see the love of Jesus through my actions,
so
that's awesome.
What we're looking for is the answer to the question, what drives you?
What drives you?
And there's some biblical things. Mm-hmm. People are driven all kinds of ways. You know, people are driven to bad things.
Oh, man.
And they're driven to good things.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope today that you'll be driven to good things. And we want to just invite you to come. Enjoy the trip with us.
Exactly.
Enjoy the drive.
Yes, enjoy the journey. So let's go to Cowboy Church. I'm going to sing a little bit, and Russ is going to speak. We are so glad that you're here. So nestle in, whatever time of day it is. Get comfortable, because we are going to Cowboy Church.
You know, in my life, I've had to be someone's granddaughter, someone's daughter, and now someone's sister. Now someone's wife. I'm becoming to be his.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours, I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, and Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me. Some of you know this song and you can sing along with me if you'd like to. We're singing a lot in church nowadays, don't we? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, and Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me.
Today, we're going to be studying a really interesting subject, I think. It's the title of the message is going to be, What Drives Us? What Drives Us? And I think when we look into it, we'll have a better perspective of it. It doesn't really do us any good to figure out what drives us unless we begin to understand that there is also the second half of this is what should drive us. Sometimes there's a fussing fight or disagreement within us as to what that should be, and that we have a good side and bad side. I remember watching cartoons as a kid, and in those cartoons, they had a little white angel on one shoulder, and they had a little red guy dressed up like the devil on the other shoulder, and both of them were trying to get through to the individual that's in the middle, and the one was trying to get him to do bad things, and the other one was trying to get him to do good things. And what that depicts is who we really are. And so I want to read a couple scriptures, and we're going to dive into this. And I hope it's interesting to you as it is to me, because when I figure out what's driving my thoughts and my emotions and my actions, then I'm better able to make good decisions. And I think we all need to be making better decisions all the time. Let's look in 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at verse 15 of chapter 2. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, you may wonder, I just want to clarify this real quick. In John 3:16, it says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." But there's two definitions of the world here. The one is the world, and that's the people that are actually in this place that we live, with all the nations involved and the people involved. And the other one that they're talking about here, "love not the world, neither the things in the world," has to do with the things that are carnal. And the things that are carnal are the things that lend us or guide us or direct us towards the sinful man. We'll get to it. And verse 16 begins to open it up for us so that we can understand. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of this world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever." And then we're going to go to verse 20, and we're just going to sum it up with verse 21 and 22. It says this, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth." So we're going to dive into this. I'm really excited about it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today, Lord, I pray today that you would guide us into truth. And Lord, that your truth would be the kind of delivered to us in such a way that we could understand it and we could apply it to our lives, I pray, and that we could be better people. We could be your people because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the world's divided. I'm sure you understand with the events that have been happening recently how divided the world really is. It's divided. And guys, it's not the political division that bothers me as bad as understanding that the difference is good and evil. The battle we're fighting, the Bible says, we're fighting a battle between good and evil. It's between what God wants and what God desires for our life, and the wholesomeness and the truth that goes with it, and him being truth. They point out that Jesus is the truth. If you want to go like this, he identifies as the truth. No, his identity is truth. He is truth. And the Bible says that the devil himself is the father of all lies. So that makes him the one who generates every kind of lie that there is. So we've got good against bad, truth against evil, and right against wrong. And that is the battle. That's the battle, guys. And if you look at what it all starts right here, is that it starts inside of us, and the inside of us has to do where there are three parts. There are three parts inside each of us. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it describes to us what the three parts are. And the three parts are this. The three parts are our body. This is our body right here, our body. And then it talks about our soul. And our soul, as described by the Word of God, our soul nature is the part of us that most rapidly leads us to be involved in things that are ungodly. The soul has to do with our carnal nature. And every one of us, when we were born with a carnal nature. All of us have a carnal nature. All of us struggle with sin. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the reason that we have sinned
And the way that we understand that we've sinned is that we are in the flesh. We're carnal. And that flesh wants to do the things that our soulish nature that we're born with wants to do. That was ignited in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they discovered the soulish nature that is within all of us. And then the Bible says, when you're born again, you're born of the Spirit. The Spirit man is the part of us that responds to God. And then it's the part that wants to hear God, wants to listen to God. And it's really, I don't understand exactly how it all works here, but it's really activated when we commit our life to Christ. It's kind of either in a dormant stage or kind of not part of things at all. And what we need to be is redeemed. We need for the old man, the Bible says, we need for the old man in us, the carnal nature, the soulish nature, we need for the old man to die. Now that isn't to say you're supposed to commit suicide or do something very foolish. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about our evil, carnal, wicked desires that we have to battle with every day that wants us to do wicked and vile things. If we don't put that to death, and Paul said it like this, he says, I die daily. It is a daily battle to put that rotten, sinful nature that we all exist and take that and put it where it belongs, dead, needs to die in the grave. But Paul said it like this, I die daily. It doesn't work to just put it in the grave today, because somehow or other, it keeps digging out of the grave and coming back to life. And before you know it, if we don't do operation on the old carnal, sinful, soulish nature, then what happens is that sinful nature begins to take charge. Now, the spirit man, when you're born again, the spirit man works like this. He is the younger brother in this trichotomy. And because he's the younger brother, you know how younger brothers work. They're always the ones that they have to grow up. They have to grow up fast. And sooner or later, in most families, there's a fight between the younger brother and the older brother. Usually. And the younger brother has to take his place, establish himself and establish his boundaries and say, this is who I am. You need to love it or leave it. It just happens. Now, in your life, that's what happens when you're born again. When you commit your life to Christ, your spirit man is, the Bible says, you're born again. That makes you a baby. And if you're a baby, what you have to do with that baby is you have to coddle that baby. You have to hold the baby. You have to feed that baby. You have to take care of it. Because if you don't take care of it, it'll never grow into the dynamic force that will help you be the person that God wants you to be. So you feed that man, you feed it nourishment, spiritual nourishment from the Word of God, through prayer, through going to church and that sort of thing. So you feed that little baby, that spirit man that you've just been born again, because he's the weaker of all. He's the weaker of all the three, but he is the one who brings us to the right relationship with God. And he is the spirit man that, when allowed to mature, it will allow us to live the way that God wants us to live. There was a black preacher, gentleman, and he was talking to an interviewer. And he said, the way I describe it is, he said, there's a dog inside of me. There's a bad dog and a good dog. And they fight all the time. The good dog wants me to do good things. The bad dog wants me to do bad things. And he said, we're always fighting with each other. The guy asked him, he said, well, which one wins? He said, well, that's really easy. It's the one I feed. And that's the way it is when we begin to understand what motivates us, what directs us, what causes us or drives us to do the things that we should do. So let's go just a little bit deeper. We say there's good and bad. The bad is summed up in verse 16. It says this, all sin is under these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, as you said, that's our body. And the addictive nature of our body is what we have to deal with everywhere. It's drugs, alcohol, smoking, sexual activities, anything that is physical, body, can become very addictive to where you have to overcome something in order to get victory over it. But that's called lust of the flesh. The second kind of sinful nature is lust of the eyes. Lust of the eyes is always wanting what you shouldn't have or can't have. Always coveting what the neighbor has. It's kind of signed up like this: the only land that I want to buy is the part that my neighbors have. It's coveting. The Bible says, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff, your neighbor's goods. Don't covet that. I was, and I will tell you this, that I was out fishing in August. I got to go with Pokey Laura Cleek. Took Anna and I to Alaska, where they have an Airbnb up there, and Pokey has a boat. And even better than the boat, he has a cousin who lives there, and he knows where all the fishing places are. So they've got these fishing places marked on this radar on this boat. We're out fishing for halibut. So we drive the boat 2 hours out into the ocean. Just 2 hours. And so we have plenty of time to visit. And we're watching this little guideline. It takes us to a point. And 2 hours, that boat goes, ooh, we're in the ocean. This is the spot. And when it does that, the anchor goes down, because there is a sandbar underneath this at about 200 feet where the fish are. And we ran into the fish. We're reeling. We can get two apiece. The first one I brought in is the biggest halibut I've ever caught in my life. Biggest one I've ever seen. He was 58 pounds. Man, that was an amazing, amazing halibut. He was 60 inches tall or long, and 60 inches is a 15-hand horse. So it took three of us plus Anna holding on to the end of the cable that we had wrapped around his tail to get him into the boat. So we finally get him in the boat. With it, man, nothing else happens. It's been a great day of fishing. But we fish, you can have two apiece, so we needed eight fish. So we got eight fish, and the very last fish, and I'm just telling you this because it's not part of the story, but the last fish I got was the biggest one I can even imagine. He is 108 pounds. Took us over 25 minutes, or right at 25 minutes, to get him in the boat. And he was just massive. And all you could do is just pick him up to about here. And then he's so heavy, you couldn't even pick him up because he's slick. And it was just wonderful. We had a great day of fishing. So we're going to go back the next day. Went back fishing. I got to fish for 4 days. And the last day, the only ones left was me and Pokey. The rest of them, yeah, they'd gotten tired of fishing with us. So we have the possibility of bringing in four fish. So we got four fish right off. And we got to thinking, we should throw a small one back because, man, we're catching fish. Bad planning. We throw a smaller one back and they quit biting.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.